we're singing today, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit just consumes us, Father. I pray that while we're singing, you speak to us. And if it's being reminded of love, if that's what we need, Lord God, I pray that you give that to us, Lord. If it's a gentle rebuke, Father, I pray that you speak that to us, Father. If it's wisdom on how to deal with the situation or how we need to love our friends, Lord God, Father, we just want to hear your voice. Just speak to us and teach us, Father. Help us to have a soft heart, Father. Help us to get rid of pride, Lord. Father, we're here because we want to learn. So teach us, Father. All we're asking there are the things that you can give us, Father. We're not asking for the things that we want or we shouldn't be. And Father, if there are things that we want, help us to lay those down. And we just say, Father, thy will be done. Whatever you want from us, Father. I make a plan, it kind of falls through, or it doesn't go exactly how I want it to go. But Father, I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that things don't go the way I want them to go. And I give you full control. I give you full control of my life, Lord God, the lives of those that I love, and even all the lives here, Lord God. Help us to surrender, Father. even when that can mean hurt, Lord. Help us to lay our lives down, Father. Help us to lift up those around us, Lord, and cry out on behalf of them, Lord God, when they don't even know they're lost. About you guys, but I feel so blessed that I have such an awesome Father in heaven. I don't have an earthly father. Mine left when I was very, very young, and you know what? I'm okay with that right now, because I have peace, and I have a Father that has been teaching me daily, and that loves me, and who has healed me, and I'm so thankful. And if you guys have a wonderful earthly father, that's great. But your Father in heaven is even better. And if you guys don't have an earthly father, you have a perfect Father in heaven that loves you more than anybody could ever love you. Father, I thank you for that awesome healing that you give, for that fullness that you give, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I can feel so loved and I can feel so worth. Lord God, I have such worth in you, Lord. And you can use me, Father. Honestly, is all the time. Father, you're so good to us, and you're so, you forgive us, Lord God. You are so patient, Father. Teach me to be that way, Lord God. Help me have that love, Lord God, that you give to us, Father. That when I look at someone that's either done me wrong, Lord God, or just can be irritating, Father. And even when I get upset with myself, Lord God, I let myself down all the time, Father. Help your grace to cover me, Father. Help me to have that love, Father, that when I can forgive someone, Father, they don't thank me for it, but they thank you, Lord God, and that's home. All the glory can go to you, Father. I just want to praise you right now, Father, for Ashley, Lord God, that is getting baptized today, Father. She has chosen, Lord God, to follow you, Father. She's had a very, very hard path, Lord God, but she knows that with you, Lord God, she's not going to be alone. And when she cries out to you, Father, you're going to give her strength, Lord. I thank you for this precious young lady, Lord God, and I pray, Father, that you bring her to our minds all the time just to be lifting her up, Lord God, and with all of the youth, Lord God, and these young adults, Lord. Father, just put them on our hearts, Lord God, so we can lift them up to you, Father. I just pray that you bless her today, Father, and she's just going to be overwhelmed. And Father, I pray for your leading today, Lord. I pray that your spirit is heard.
It'll move the air then.
Now, let's just pray. I just really want to ask again. I just echo what Amy Anster said. I just want to ask for the Holy Spirit's leading through this whole just service and afterwards the baptism and stuff. So, God, we just give all this time to you, Lord. You are the beginning and the end, Lord. You're the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. God, you're the first and the last, Lord. Lord, you are the one that began our life, Lord God, and ultimately, Lord, you're the one that's going to end it. Or, for those who know you, Lord, will be with you in eternal life forever, Lord. And you're going to wipe every tear from our eyes, Lord God. Lord, I just pray right now, you know who's going through hurts, Lord God. You know the folks in here that are having struggles financially, Lord. You know the folks in here who have relatives, Lord, who are sick, Lord God, that are even dying, Lord God, and folks that are away even visiting them right now. We pray for your blessing to be upon them, that you would be a mouthpiece through them, Lord, for your gospel, Lord, for your love, Lord, to touch them through words, through deeds, Lord, that you would just use them, that you would empower them to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name that you would take each one of us here, Lord God, and stir our hearts to love and good deeds, Lord, that we wouldn't just be talkers on Sunday, we'd be walkers all through the week, Lord, walking with you, running with you in the paths of your commands. That's what we ask, Lord. So don't give up on us. Continue to do that work in us so that you can do that work through us, even if that means suffering and tough times, Lord God. whatever it takes to make us more like you, we would ask. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we've got a few things to go over this morning, everybody. And so first off, I don't have a slide up there, but if you want Panera Bread, we've got a bunch of loaves of bread back there, fresh from Panera Bread a few hours back. And if you would like to take a nice, big, expensive, fantastic loaf of Panera Bread, feel free to take as much as you want. And I think we got a bunch of bagels back there as well, so you're welcome to take that as well. Let's see what else we have here. For those of you who don't know about us, we teach verse by verse through the Bible, book by book, verse by verse, so that you'll understand what the Word of God means in context, and so that you'll be strengthened, encouraged, and equipped in God's Word in these troubling times. You can listen to the audios online if you miss, or download audios for free. We're also having a baptism directly after the service, so it's going to be probably a little bit shorter, although you know me teaching the words, I'm going to try to be shorter. But we're going to have a baptism right afterwards, and everybody's welcome. I don't know if it'll be 7 people or 70 people, but everybody's welcome, and we're going to baptize Ashley. And she just got saved recently. She's been coming to our youth group in church for a couple of years, but just really realized as we're going through the book of Romans that, you know, she wasn't saved, that she was just kind of going and coming here and going to youth group. And so we're so excited that she's prayed to receive the Lord, and now she wants to get baptized, and she's into spiritual warfare Bible study with the women, and just really exciting for her. So what we're going to do is, after this, if you need the address, simply ask me. We're going to go over, if you can bring a side dish, that'd be great. We're going to grill some hot dogs at our house, and we're just going to dunk her and immerse her and baptize her in Jesus' name. And there'll be a time where you guys can give any verbal gifts if the Lord gives you a word for her, a prophetic word, or if God has put something on your heart, encouragement for her in the Lord, or something maybe you've learned, if you want to share that with her, there'll be a time for that as well. And if anyone else feels led to get baptized, to make that commitment, that outward sign of inward obedience, we'd be happy to dunk you too. And so, in Jesus' name, if there's anyone else here who wants to commit their life to Jesus Christ, we would so love to baptize you. And we'll have multiple people there just in case. Usually we have a few extra that get baptized, and so we're excited about that. So you are absolutely welcome. We're very casual at our house. So, obviously, this is like as dressy as I ever get. Okay. Also, different stuff you already know about, motor library stuff. If you want to grow in your faith, we've got Christian books, audio CDs, you can play in the car, family DVDs. They're all loaned out for free in Jesus' name in the room back to the left back there. Prayer meetings here, Sunday mornings for the community. Now, is it men's group or women's? Men's? Thank you. I was just testing you guys. Okay, and we're still doing, Gary, you want anything you would like to say about that? It's this Tuesday?
Dinner surprise plan, and then we're going to learn how to overcome temptation.
Okay, how to overcome, that's for the men, and that's Tuesdays, okay? What's dinner surprise? Okay, I guess it's a surprise. Is it a good surprise or a little surprise? That's all I'm asking.
He doesn't know yet.
Okay, that's probably what it is. Anyway, it's here. It's very casual. 5:30, we play some Frisbee. 6 p.m., dinner.
Yeah,
and
young
6:30.
Men there.
Oh, and the teens as well.
Yes.
Yeah, young men are welcome as well. Okay. The Whosoever's Youth Group, okay, are having a back-to-school summer bash again this Wednesday at a memorial pool party and a cookout and at our house. And so we will be meeting at our house on Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. Don't leave. I need to talk to you, too. You're not in trouble. Well, that was pretty good. He's like, what? So anyway, that's going to be 6:30 this Wednesday.
I have no idea.
And then work in the Word. If you guys are interested in coming here for devotionals, Thursday morning, 9:30 to 1 p.m. And then, hopefully, this upcoming month, God willing, we've just finished the patio. Somebody's given us a grill. We're working on fabrics for a little overhang there. But Thursday nights, we're going to start a barbecue and Bible study. And so we're going to, for those, some of us here want to go more in depth into some Old Testament studies and some discipleship courses. And so we're going to be going through that. We're going to have some, just do a little cook, bring aside, just be a little casual time, to eat together and fellowship. I don't know, 6 to 8. I'm not really sure about the times. We're still working that out. We'll just give you the preliminary stuff, so pray about it. And then we'll set dinner together and just get in depth into some Old Testament stuff and discipleship issues such as anxiety, fear, that type of thing. We'll bring more information to that in the future. But if you can help serve or cook or clean or something like that, if you would do that maybe once or twice a month or something like that, help us. Or weekly, would you see Uncle Tom? Uncle Tom, will you raise your hand for the people who don't know you? Fantastic. Yes, Uncle Tom. Well, we would love to have you. Yes, it is starting, Lord willing. Not this Thursday. No, it's going to be starting this next month. So we'll give you more information
in August or
in the next couple weeks.
September.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
September.
August or September.
Okay, and then prayer and praise, is that this week or is it Friday forum? I forget.
No, prayer and praise.
Prayer and praise, Friday night here, okay? 6:30 to 8, little prayer meeting if you guys are all interested in that. Also, Concerts Why Outcry, coming to the 2016 summer tour. Carrie Jobe Hillsong Worship. Also, Shepherd's Heart Christian School. Guys just doing such a work.
Woo!
It is amazing. Awesome. Can't even tell you. There's just so much going on. People have donated. People have donated a brand new, like, 40-something inch TV and a 32-inch TV and wires and cables and desks and chairs. And just, it's been unbelievable. It's just all the Lord. I'm telling you, He's doing a really wonderful work. So just continue to pray for that as God's working. Before we get started, though, on the Bible study of Romans 5. Is, let's see, Sherry Brower, I saw you somewhere early, and Hannah, I saw you somewhere, is she around? Okay, and then, Azaleen, are you here anywhere? Okay, on her way. Okay, would you mind coming up, is that okay? Yeah, well, they're coming up, yeah.
For our Sunday school kiddos back there, Rebecca has been facilitating, who's teaching each week and sending out texts to us to help remind us, and she's been doing it for quite a long time now, and she's asked if we would pray, if somebody would come up and do it, take over that position. So if anybody feels led to do just a little bit of administrative kind of stuff, like getting it set up, just kind of scheduling and things like that, we would, that's a need there. And of course, we always need wonderful teachers. We've already kind of talked about you, so yeah, just something to think about, guys.
Okay, come on, you can still come up. She's talking.
We're in the end of the here. Sorry.
Do you know what I noticed missing on there, though?
Picture of you?
No. I actually saw one. I thought I had sent you about that Thursday night. Next Thursday night is prayer for Manatee County Schools for superintendent. And, Thursday night, I'll send the information again. But we're having prayer, and like we should show up in droves to pray for Manatee County Schools, for superintendents, for teachers, for cafe ladies, for bus drivers, for. You know, we have this great opportunity to fall on our face before the Lord and pray for this area. And they may have kicked prayer out of school, but we're going to keep praying for our schools and for our administrators and stuff and see how God works. But, you know, we hear about all these catastrophes that are happening in schools around the country, and we just want God's hand upon our schools and our children. And so I'm just so excited about
where
on Thursday night. It is at, I have it on my phone, but it's a municipal building in Bradenton. But do you have like a mass email that y'all have?
Yeah, we have an email and a text, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll send you the information, okay. And then you can send it out to everybody. But I'd love to see everybody there come and pray, and I think we should pack that place out.
I think that's great. Now, would you mind telling us, now we had a VBS here.
Yeah.
Would you mind just sharing a little, for those who don't know about Child Evangelism and Fellowship, would you share a minute? And then would you guys also talk about just what God is doing through you guys and also about the VBS? We have a film, so whenever you're ready for that, you want to do it first, last?
I'd like to do that first.
Okay. All right, George, do you mind queuing that up for a second? We'll show, this is from our VBS this week. We'll get the lights.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, maybe it is. Yeah,
so during the week, this place was loud and wild, and we had a great time. We had a total of like 19 children come, three make decisions for Christ, and we were just having such a great time here. The five-day clubs are led during the summer, and they are student-led. So they are between the ages of 12 to 19, and we had two from this church, Aslyn and Hannah, and Hannah is a natural-born leader, so she has taken on that role to lead her team, and so this summer, I really handed over a lot of the reins for planning, because I'd worked with Hannah last summer, and she took over that, and also CEF hired Hannah this summer, and she's been a godsend. I mean, incredible. I got like three times as much fun this summer. It's awesome. Yeah. You need to pray for Hannah, because Hannah is learning to trust God to provide, right? It is a daily thing with CEF to trust God to provide, a lesson I'm also learning. But the thing is that the youth go away for 1 week to Johnson University, and they have a choice in the summer to pick 1 week. We only go away for 2 weeks because we have to get teachers from all around the state of Florida to cover all the classes for juniors and seniors. And we go to Johnson University for a week, and it is intense. We go from, I know I go from like 6:30 in the morning till late at night, and the students go all day too. And it's not camp, it's training. And they go, and they need to even be prepared before they get there. They need to know Bible verses. They need to know Bible lessons. They need to know missionary stories. It's an opportunity for them to grow in their faith and to share. Hey, Aslan, come on up here. And Aslan and Hannah met the challenge head on. And we had two others from this area. And while they're there, I personally spend time with each one because I want to make sure that they succeed. And so we had four this summer, but we're looking forward to having 20 next summer. Because the more that we have, the more children we can reach. So we thank you as a church for supporting this ministry. Because I had people say to me, hey, Good News Clubs are out for the summer. Aren't you excited to have the summer off? And I just look at them like, are you crazy? Kids do not go away during the summer. No. And so we're excited because we go to different areas. And honestly, I don't know why every church is not embracing this. We provide the staff. We provide the curriculum. We provide the songs. We provide the games. We provide the prizes. We provide the enthusiasm. All those kind of things. And the Lord is in it. So to have that, instead of I see churches like they're going nuts because they're having to plan BBSs, I'm like, we will do this for you. We want to do this for you. We want to share the gospel. And when these guys get to talk to a child and see them come to Christ, that makes them want to come back. And so if you've ever had the opportunity of leading someone to the Lord, you're hooked. You're hooked. And so please continue to pray for us. So I'm going to ask a few questions of the girls, and I have not coached them, so whatever comes up, you know, it's from their hearts. But I want to say, before you went to CYIA, what did you expect, and when you got there, what was the surprise? Was it as easy as you thought it was going to be, Aslan?
Kind of.
Right, yeah. Who sat with you almost every night going over things?
Yeah.
That's why it was kind of
difficult. Yeah, got it.
Was it as easy as you thought it was going to be? And were you surprised when you got there?
When I went last year, I kind of got like an example of what it would be like. So I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but it was a lot easier this year because I already kind of knew what I was doing. But what really surprised me was how hard I worked, because I didn't even want to go. Like, honestly, I loved it last year, but, like, I've had, like, the worst year of my life last year. So I was just really, like, I did not want to go. And then when I went, it was, like, so worth it. Like, you just, God works in amazing ways. And I don't know, it's really helped me out. It's strengthened me. And like she said, I led my first child to Christ about 3 weeks ago in our first 5-day club. I've never experienced something so amazing. Like, just to see the light in her eyes when I told her that Jesus loved her. It broke my heart, because growing up, I've always been told that Jesus loved me, so it's different, you know. I always had my grandma or my mom when we were in church, and, you know, I just kind of grew up like that. But for those kids that don't grow up like that, and just being able to share that with them, it makes it so much more worth it. So it was hard that week. I'm not even going to lie. It was hard because you work from day to night. And, like, even when everyone else has free time, you're over here studying, like, trying to get ready for tomorrow. And we have, like, an hour break in between evaluations, so we have to study on that time. And it's, like, it was a really intense week, like she said. But it really does prepare you, because if you go into those 5-day clubs unprepared, then you're taking away that opportunity for those kids to get what they need. So it's intense, but it's so worth it.
To be honest,
oh, no.
I was so embarrassed when I got over there. I didn't know what to do. I felt like I was going to fail this whole entire thing. I thought I was thinking to myself, I'm not going to make these kids happy. I'm just going to make them stare at me.
Oh, my goodness. Literally, I get the feeling that kids won't like me and everything. Because I'm pretty much close to their age, and they're like, why is there a kid about our age teaching us? Literally. I thought it was kind of weird for a 12-year-old, because at the other churches we've been to, there were some teenagers older than me.
My uncles and one of them. So was the other guy.
So I felt kind of weird teaching some teenagers. At least I got used to the little kids, yay. Yeah. They became like my little munchkin friends. I call munchkins
and miners.
Even the ones in here. I'm just being honest. However, I just love the kids. However, it was kind of really, really hard to in my opinion. But, because I'm not used to waking up early in the morning. I'm used to kind of waking up like somewhere around 8 or 9 o'clock. So it's I'm a zombie at the morning time. Like, I do not know what I'm doing sometimes. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. What was your favorite Bible lesson or missionary story day? Which one was your favorite? Now, you have to know, every day it's a different Bible lesson, and our theme was One Way. There's only one way to God. So we had, like, Naaman, and we had Cain and Abel. We have Nicodemus. We have 5-day stories, and then the bronze servant. And then we have also the story of Amy Carmichael. And so we tell the missionary story every day. So real quickly, tell me, what was your favorite story, Bible lesson, or day?
My favorite Bible lesson was the prodigal son. Yeah, that's a good one. And I think it was my favorite because I could kind of relate to it. And the kids, I feel like they could understand it when you taught it. And it was a really good lesson, you know, how a lot of people, they just want to go their own way. And then, boom, this big thing happens, and you find yourself back. And just to see his father welcome him with open arms, even though he left and, you know, did his own thing. That was really a good lesson for the kids, because it's showing them that no matter how far you go or no matter what you do, God will always welcome you back if you do find yourself going back to Him. And my favorite missionary story was day two, when they burned
Prina's
hands, because that part just breaks my heart. And to think that she went through all that, and Amy still took her in, and when she learned about God's love for her, it was like, if you guys, man.
Well, my favorite, well, it's mostly Amy Carmichael, because I know her a lot since we got the movies back over there. I've been watching Amy Carmichael over and over again, especially in Pure Flix. So I say all the stories of Amy Carmichael, all the lessons and everything, I just really love it, especially the story of Prina. Is, I don't know, but she sometimes reminds me of myself. And sometimes I want to, like, I can't imagine how it feels to have her hands burnt, because she's like 8 or 9 years old. Or 7. She was very young, man. I can't imagine that, how much she's suffering, because I have suffered a lot as well, because I had depression, but thank you, God. He helped me.
Well, while we're still doing that, I just want to say thank you guys. As a church, we support Jerry Brower and Child Commandos and the Service Fellowship. And so thank you for your giving, because part of what you guys give goes to her. And so thank you for that. So also, thank you also for those two kids who went through all that training. I just want to also let you know, you guys gave to them too, because they didn't have quite enough, and you guys supplied was left out. So thank you guys for that. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Hezekiah, Joe, will you grab a couple Bibles here? Real quick. Romans chapter 5. And if you guys need a Bible, Joe, Hezekiah, grab those Bibles. What are you? Oh, is he already doing it? Oh, man, he is on the ball. And he's got to ask. Yeah, they're good.
Chris.
Romans chapter 5, some over here, amen. That's kind of good. All right, so we're in Romans chapter 5. That's in the Bible. All right, we've gone through the last 3 weeks. Hey, by the way, you know, speaking of this, we've gone through the first 11 verses in the last 3 weeks. I've got the last three sermons. Romans chapter 5, 1 to 3, 3 to 11, and also Josh's on persevering. So the last 3 weeks has been on suffering and persevering and producing character and hope won't disappoint us. And so if anybody wants a copy of that, there's one right here. Good, really? All right.
It's online too, right?
It is online too, right. Will you, madam? Would you mind passing that back? Anybody else? Good. Two more? Good. Yep, one more right there. Okay. Fantastic. Yes. All yours from here. Okay. So, we've been talking about in chapter 5 of being justified by faith. Sit down there. Talking about hope. Hit those lights just for a second there, Elijah, would you please? Thanks. We've been talking about faith. We've been talking about justification. We're talking about grace. We've been talking about peace with God, and that, believe it or not, the Bible says that, you know, we were enemies with God. If we don't know Him right now, if we haven't submitted our life to Him, then we've set ourselves up as enemies of God. That's a pretty big thing. But yet, He's written out a peace contract for us. He says we have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's an amazing thing. And just like that Japanese soldier, he was at war 30 years after the peace treaty was signed. There's so many folks right now who are at war with God that have not bent their knee, even though He's paid the price. He signed that peace treaty with His blood on the cross, willing to reconcile you, even though you're an enemy and rebellious to Him. If you would bend your knee, that peace treaty is already signed. You could live in peace. You could live in prosperity with Him. This guy was fighting malaria and starvation and sickness and anger and hate for 30 years for nothing, because the peace treaty was already signed. It's the same way with us when we reject Jesus Christ and the peace he offers us. We talked about approaching God with confidence. We talked about suffering. Listen, guys, in verse 3 of Romans 5, 3, we talked about this. It says that we're to rejoice in our suffering. In our suffering. Now, and the reason we're to rejoice in our suffering, it says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. That suffering, does anybody remember that word? Because I'm going to drill it in your head. Suffering. What's the Greek word? What is it?
Philipsis.
Asterisk. Say it with me. Say philipsis. One more time. Philipsis. That suffering. That suffering produces something valuable. That suffering that we don't like produces in us perseverance. Hupomone or hupomone. And that perseverance produces character in us. And that character produces that hope in us. And that hope is an assurance in Jesus Christ. That's what it does. Now, you remember we left off last week with me mentioning that little song that my little five-year-old sings, right? Let your praise never be on my lips. Never be, right? And then we had to tell him why it should be ever be on my lips. That's what we should be singing. And oh, yes, he understood it. But then right away, within about a minute, he's back singing to the Lord. Let your praise, Lord, never be on my lips. And that's just like us, guys. We have to remember in those times of suffering, especially, to be praising him, knowing, confident, that he's going to work it out as you persevere in him. You don't try to get out of the pressure. You allow him to work in the pressure to produce something beautiful in you. Just like that piece of coal under pressure comes out as a beautiful diamond. By pressure. Don't try to run from it. Allow God to work that in and through you. Now, how many people have experienced just this week some new pressure in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, wow. Okay. Have you immediately gone back to singing? Now, last couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, have been amazing. And so everybody's like, yeah, Jesus, persevere. Yeah, through the suffering. Woo-hoo-hoo. Now, when that hit, let your praise never be on my... Did you go back to that old way of thinking? Did you panic? Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe some did, maybe some didn't. But God wants that to produce in us something valuable. That's a greater worth than gold, as refined by the fire. All right, I'm already... Let me just do some of this. Okay, here we go. All right, perseverance, we talked about that. Why is it so important? Perseverance, character, we preached about that. Just a second, kids. All right. Now, today's teaching talked also how much God loves you. I love that. All right, here we go. Now, there we go. All right. Now, this teaching is going to bomb. I'm going to tell you that ahead of time. It's a very difficult passage, but it's also kind of easy if we look at it a little bit. So, it's, you know, if I had a choice, I probably wouldn't. I was loving the last 3 weeks, loving it. And this one is like really hard, and a lot of commentators are like, they skim over it, they do about 5 minutes of it, which I would really like to do. But there's still some stuff in here that's very, very valuable as we go through this. And so, do you have the light lighter? Now this right here, I don't know if you can see the picture with the lights on, but this is either a picture, I can't remember if this is Nagasaki or Hiroshima, this is the picture of the actual mushroom cloud from when they dropped the atom bomb in Japan. So on August 6th, for those of you guys who don't know, 1945, our president at that time, Harry S. Truman, made the decision and ordered the U.S. Air Forces, U.S. Army Air Forces, to detonate the atom bomb. And it was nicknamed Little Boy. And he did it over the Japanese city of Hiroshima by the Angola Gay and Aku. That was the airplane. The mushroom cloud of the atomic bombing of the Japanese city of Nagasaki rose some 11 miles high, 18 kilometers above the bomb's epicenter. And this one in Hiroshima, when it was first dropped, it leveled every building within a 5-mile radius, obliterated flat. That's the power of this atom bomb. That atom bomb killed between 90 and 146,000 people instantaneously. And then it also killed another 300,000 after that over the years from fallout, from radiation, from sickness, from aftershock. They were killed by that over the years. And you say, wow, how could one event have such a detrimental effect on humanity? You know, it's almost like mind-blowing, you know? But honestly, that's nothing compared to the section we're going to go through here in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. And it's Adam's bomb. And that one sin that he committed affected all of humanity and has caused death, sickness, aftershock, and destruction that makes the atom bomb dropped on Hiroshima look like nothing. So this is something that's serious and has affected all of us. If I could pick a verse for this section, like in the Bible, of what kind of summarizes verses 12 to 21, it would probably be 1 Corinthians 15:22. If I could, maybe 22 and 23. Turn with me real quickly. I like how this says it, but there might be something else here. It might be a verse before that, but I'll just read this one right here since I got it up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ will be given new life. Isn't that amazing? So if you could sum up this section in one scripture, that would probably be it. 15:22, maybe 15:22-23, you can read that for yourselves later. It's a comparison. It's a comparison of Adam and Jesus, because Adam and Jesus both had authority over all creation. Okay? They were both had that authority. Adam, however, was tempted and failed, right? Jesus, our Redeemer, was tempted and passed. Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And that's why when we get born again, we receive the life that he lived. Isn't that amazing? We receive that imputed to us. It's amazing. Adam caused all mankind to be infected with sin and death. And Jesus gave all mankind the opportunity to be saved, to be forgiven of sin. And we'll read that in Romans 5, 12, and 15. Adam's disobedience to God leads to death. But Jesus' obedience to God leads to life. And John 10:10 says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Yeah. Adam, you know, he's on vacation. He's one of our folks that are on vacation right now. And Mark did a really great Bible study on identity theft. But there was one thing that I think that he said and I understand why he was saying, because it kind of fit in the teaching, but one thing is, Satan didn't steal our identity in the garden. Adam handed it over to him. You know what I'm saying? By choice. Does that make sense? Adam gave that authority to Satan. And Jesus took that authority back away from him. From sin and death. Right? That's why you can have eternal life only in Christ Jesus. There's no other way for you to be saved. So it's like this section is like a comparison between Adam and Jesus. If I had to break it down in a few sections, here in this verse 12 to 21, verses 12 to 14 talks about the ruin of mankind, and that's through Adam. So if you guys are note takers or whatever, verse 12 to 14 talks about the ruin of mankind. Verse 15 to 19 talks about the rescue of mankind. So the ruin of mankind talks about Adam. The rescue of mankind talks about Jesus. And then verse 20 and 21 talks about the reign of mankind. All right. So let's Glad you get those lights. So let's go and start off, if we will. If somebody would read verse 12 to 14. Somebody mind reading that for me?
I don't know.
All right. Interesting.
Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world through the law was given. Before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking the command, as in Adam, who is a pattern of the one behind.
Okay, good. Good. Now, the first thing I want to say here, too, also is, you know, there are a lot of churches that teach that the story of Adam and Eve is a fable. It's a nice story to talk about creation. Did you know that? There's a lot of churches that actually teach that. Jesus wasn't under the impression that the creation story, or that there was a literal Adam and a literal Eve, was a fable. He talked about it as a fact. He talked about it as a fact in either Matthew chapter 19, but also, turn real quickly there, and also in Mark, go to Mark chapter 10, verses 6 to 9. Because we have to understand, a lot of these things that we talk about, you know, Jesus referenced Jonah. Jesus referenced back to creation, the beginning, and Adam and Eve, as literal events. And so, some of you might have that mentality. And if Adam and Eve is just a fable, well then, Adam didn't sin. Then there's no sin. There's no death. You don't even need Jesus. See where it all falls apart? Anyway, Mark chapter 10. If somebody could turn there for me, or if you're there, phantasmagorical. If you would read 6 to 9. Debbie Jo, are you there? Would you mind reading... If you're comfortable with it, I can hold the Bible back.
But at the beginning, of creation, God made them male and female.
Wait, say that again. This is Jesus speaking. What?
But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female.
So God, Jesus is saying, at the beginning of creation, he didn't say over billions as we came up from the goo. He says, from the beginning of creation, God made them. Who made them?
God,
not primordial slime, not a little electric bolt, not stardust. God made them. Who made them what?
Male and female.
Keep going, yeah.
6 to 9?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.
Yes. So Jesus is referring back to creation, referring back to man, the first man and woman ever, when he's talking about marriage. So Jesus considers this a literal thing. And so should you, and so should I. Because the implications of it, you think it's a fable, are staggering. It says in verse 12, it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. Hey, really quickly, the Bible says, therefore, just as sin entered the world, why doesn't it say sins? Why doesn't it say sins? You notice that?
What?
Sin in one, sin in all.
Covers all.
Yes. Well, think about this. You know, for those of you who don't know the story of Genesis, because there may be some that don't know, the first three chapters, you know, God put Adam and Eve in a garden, right? And he had them there, and he said, you know, basically they had everything they could ever want, everything they could ever need. There's no sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no death. All he asked was one command. Our Heavenly Father gave us one command, and just said, don't eat from the tree of good and evil, you know? And if you do, you'll die. There's just one. And, of course, like any teenager, like any kid, they disobey. So parents don't feel disturbed if your kids don't always obey you. But so there was only one command, and they disobeyed it. Now, here's something else I noticed. Tell me this. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world, came into the world, the cosmos, through one man. Now, for you guys who know the story of Genesis, what's odd there? It says sin entered the world through one man. What seems odd for those of you who know the story of Genesis? Yes, Joe.
She was the one that took the apple. She was the first one.
Eve was the one that took the fruit first. So that's interesting. That's right, but it says right here, therefore sin entered the world through one man. What do you think that means?
He chose to.
Yeah, right. Ah, excellent, Elijah. Good. You didn't hear, he said he chose to do it. Yes.
Well, I believe that man was given to Adam as the leader of the first family, so to speak. And he allowed Eve to be in that position personally.
Yes. Good.
Yes,
yes, sure.
Well, I was about to say, the woman was deceived. Adam.
Yes, all those answers are absolutely correct. Excellent. You all win a prize. Yes, what she's talking about, she didn't share her heart, excuse me. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, it says that the woman was deceived. It also says that, I know that's not a fun thing to hear, ladies, but it, you know what? It's the truth. And Genesis 3:13 says it, and you know who said it first? Eve said it to God. She said, the serpent deceived me. So, why is Adam held responsible? Well, you guys were right, both of you, because he was the head of the family. Instead of saying, he was supposed to be the protector, instead of saying, okay, that's right, the command was given to Adam for him. And he should have said, hey, Eve, we're getting emotional here. Hypothetically. Okay, somebody's going to be mad at me. If you don't know me, I'm trying to be funny. Okay. The bottom line is,
we're all laughing.
Adam didn't step up. He didn't man up and say, and do what was right. Adam chose to sin. Eve was deceived, but Adam's sin, in my opinion, is worse. Because, you know what? He chose to do sin, eyes wide open. And so that's why he is the one responsible. Yes?
He was also made first. And he was also given dominion over everything.
Yes.
So he had the responsibility.
Absolutely. So, men, you can blame the man. No, go ahead. Don't try to blame Eve. Men? Yes. And you know what? Oh, don't even get me started. Yes? Yes, Nicole.
Well, just back to the... to draw back to the sin issue,
yes.
Just that sin is an entity. You know, it's a noun as well as a verb. So when sin, it, as an entity, entered the world,
yes.
The way that when Christ died, he conquered sin, the noun.
Yes.
So.
Right, yes. And basically what she's saying is, and we're going to get to this in a minute, when it says, because it says sin, in fact, maybe we're going to get to it now. It says, therefore, in verse 12, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, right? And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. Listen, and here's the thing. That death comes to all people. It's almost like, I don't know what's a good illustration. Have you ever had babies that are addicted, okay? You know, or a virus that's you know, it's almost like built in your DNA. That DNA goes on. That sin goes on and gets transferred from person to person
hereditary.
To person. You know what I mean? It's hereditary. That sin happened, and now that goes through all of human history. So it's that sin singular. You're not a sinner because you sin. Right? You sin because you're a sinner. You see what I'm saying? It's a subtle difference. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. It's in your heart. That's how you make. Listen, we've got cute babies here, right? Okay, babies are cute.
Yes.
We got some here. We got a bunch over at the children's ministry. Babies are cute. And I know this is going to be hard for some of you, especially if you've never had kids. How can this sweet little baby be anything but amazingly cute and perfect and wonderful. A little angel. Do you have to teach that little baby how to disobey? Or do you have to teach that little baby how to obey? Think about that. One of the best, listen, that original sin that comes and has made us sinners, has made us little sinners, goes on through all eternity. Listen, apart from Christ, that's who we are. I am ruled by that sin nature. Listen to this. Several years ago, there was a secular report, and it was printed in the Journal of American Institute of Criminal Law and Criminology, and it was written in the Minnesota Crime Commission report. And it was commissioned by the governor of the state, Theodore Christensen. And the Minnesota Crime Commission released a statement, and you can actually still download it on their state website, legislative.gov of Minnesota. It's 77 pages long, and it's a report that backs up what the Bible teaches about our sinful nature. Now, this is going to go contrary to what, like, a lot of the movements are saying, but this is our sin nature apart from Christ. You're ruled by it. And this is what the report stated. Now remember, this is a secular, okay? This is what it says. Okay? And I love it. And I'm going to quote. It says, every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch, or whatever. Deny him these, and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He's dirty, has no morals, no knowledge, no developed skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, but all children, are born delinquent. If permitted, now this is a strong statement, now this isn't a Christian statement here, if permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy each want, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a criminal, a rapist. Unquote. That's sin nature. And that's the truth. It goes on to say that, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sin, you know, that death, the Bible talks about death. People don't like to talk about it, but it's a reality. You know, I think the mortality rate is pretty much, you know, 10 out of 10, right? 100%? Well, 99.9. Somebody's going to say, it didn't go to the election. Okay, so there's two. Two that didn't die, the Lord took them up. But this is what the Bible says. You know, recently I've just heard about more and more people dying. You hear it, it's this is where it's going. Hit the lights, Elijah. This is from Psalm 39, 4 and 5. Nobody likes to think about death or talk about death because it reminds us that, you know, there's an end coming. Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5 says this, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. You know, I heard this week, it hurts my heart, I won't share the name, but somebody that we had ministered to that was hurting. This church had ministered to them, I had ministered to them, visited them in the hospital. Some other people here had ministered to this person and to their family. The family is now saved and walking with the Lord, except for the husband. And the husband, unfortunately, dropped dead. I won't give any more details, but basically he just dropped dead. And in his 30s, his upper 30s. And so, you know, and he refused Christ according to the family. And it breaks my heart because he was ministered to. You know, this is a reality. And that reality is eternal separation from Christ. That's the truth. Death is real because of that sin. You know, C.T. Studd said, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, but then after them the judgment. Now, everybody's really thinks about the physical death, but even worse than that, honestly, is the spiritual death. Right? Nobody wants to die physically, but there's something even bigger than that, is spiritual death. Matthew 10:29 says, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10:29. There's three types of death, and we won't go through all the scriptures for time's sake. But the first one is the physical death, right? You know, Genesis 3:19, when God was pronouncing the curses, that's what he said, you're going to return back to dust now. You know, there was no sin and no death before that. And then there's the spiritual death. You know, somebody look up to me, 1 John, in the back of the Bible, 5:11-12. If you want to turn there, you can. If you don't have that underlined, if I haven't made you underline that already, there's a spiritual death. As you're turning there, John 3:3 says, Nicodemus went to Jesus, and Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Because we're all born spiritually dead because of that sin. We have to be made alive in Christ. We have to be born again by the Spirit of God. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's not that you're following a church or you're going to religion. Something supernatural takes place in you. You get reborn. He places His Holy Spirit in you. He forgives you of all your sins. And He leads you to Him. So that way, you're no longer under the control of sin and death. You live for Him now. You're not subject to that sinful lifestyle anymore. What does 1 John 5:11-12 say? Somebody mind reading that nice and loud and proud, big unbelief?
And this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life.
That's pretty clear, right? Have the Son of God, you have life. If you do not have Him, you do not have life. You're a dead man walking. I was a dead man walking. Anybody here who's accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, you know what? We were once just like some of you. Dead men walking. We couldn't get joy, we couldn't get happiness, we couldn't get peace in our life except through sin for a short period of time. And so that's going to bring death to everyone. Glad you get the link. You know, there's a story of a famous, renowned philosopher, I'll say, who was very politically influential, who was rich in the 1700s. His name is Voltaire. Anybody familiar with him? Okay. He was a staunch atheist and wrote against Christ and the Bible and the church prolifically. I mean, he wrote tons of stuff. And he wrote many things to undermine the church. And he once said of Jesus Christ, he said, curse the wretch. And he said, in 100 years, he said, Christianity will be no more. My single hand will destroy the edifice it took 12 apostles to rear. Well, obviously, Mr. Voltaire was wrong. Or he wouldn't be here today. And some even say 100 years later that Voltaire... After Voltaire was long since dead, the Geneva Bible Society actually purchased one of his homes in Europe to print and distribute Bibles out of it. Voltaire was wrong. At his deathbed, though, a nurse who attended him was reported to have said, he started to have a change of heart because he was freaking out, and he said, quote, for all the wealth in Europe, I would not see another atheist die. And because of his approaching death, and a vision of hell that he didn't believe in gave him, the physician who waited upon Voltaire at his death said that he cried out with utter desperation, I'm abandoned by God and by man. He told the doctor, I'll give you half of what I'm worth. And he was a super rich man. I'll give you half of what I'm worth if you'll give me just 6 more months of life. And if not, then I shall go to hell, and I hope you go to hell with me. And then he cried out, Christ, oh Jesus Christ. What the difference. I have a friend who works, Christina, who works in hospice for many, many, many years. She's a Christian, loves the Lord, and she tells me of the stories. She says the difference between those who know Jesus and are born again, know Jesus as Lord and Savior, when they pass, the difference, and when the folks do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, after many, many, many years, is like night and day. She's like, the one is almost, it's sad, but it's almost joyful. The other one is terrifying to be upon. And that's all the result of that sin. And it comes to all of us. Now somebody might be saying, well, that's not fair. Why should I have to pay the price? Why should I have to pay the price for Adam's sin? Right? Some might say that. Now listen, if that's the case, right? Maybe if you were there, you would have done better, right? So let me just ask you a question. How many people this month have disobeyed God's commands? Honestly. Okay. Anybody obey him completely this week? You could ask how many have sinned in the last hour. Raise your hand. Listen, we've got Adam who's in a perfect environment, right? He didn't have the TV. He didn't have the culture of the schools. You know, he didn't have the movies that are out today or the influences of our friends. He didn't have Mommy Dearest. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have the dysfunctional family life. He was perfect. And yet he still sinned. You've got way more baggage. We all sin, right? So we all sin in Adam. Okay, that's one verse.
Okay.
La la la. Let's maybe speed it up a bit. But there is a lot here, right, guys? Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so here we go. So let's go. Verse 14 and 15, excuse me, 13 and 14 says, before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses over those who had not sinned by breaking the command, as did Adam, who was the pattern of things to come. What? Okay, think of it this way. There's a word in here. Some of your Bibles say, mine in verse 13 says taken into account, and that's a good description. Some others say imputed. That's another good description. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. And basically, Swindoll said this one time, and I thought it was really awesome. That word is allegato, and that means it's like an accounting term, and it means to charge to one account. So sin was in the world even before Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, basically is what it's saying. And there's death. So picture it this way. Amanda, Panda, and Josh. It was so cute together. Let me use you as an example. Okay, so Amanda, Panda, and Josh. So they come back from their honeymoon. They're all excited about their new life together. They rent a place. They're both doing well. They're both working. They're both making money. Fantastic. They're going out to eat. They're buying furniture for their place, their rental place. They're going to Starbucks. You know, that's a killer. And so things are pretty good. But then, all of a sudden, mortgage rates drop. Huh. And then the prices of housing drops, which that's not happening here. But let's just say it did. And so Amanda, Pan, and Josh say, wow, this is the time to buy a house. I think I'm going to do this, right? And so Amanda, Pan, and Josh say, okay, let's do this. But they don't have enough money for a down payment. In fact, to be honest, they've racked up a little bit of debt on their credit cards. Okay? Maybe yes, Amanda, Pan, and Josh. But they did. They racked up some debt. Okay? Now, so they go to Mary and Gary. Gary runs the dollar stretcher, good with finances. Mary, a CPA. So they go and they say, I need some help with our financing. We need to restructure some stuff. We need some help. We don't have enough for a down payment. We've got to figure this out. Mary says, great. Gary says, let me in. So they make this ledger, right? Because this is an accounting term. They make this ledger, and on one side is all their expenses, right? And on the other side, it's all the and on the other side is all their income, and the other side all their expenses. And lo and behold, you know what? Amanda Panda and Josh find out. They find out that, oh man, they've been slowly digging a hole for years as they were renting that property, and they were getting in debt. They just never realized it, right? They never even knew. Now, just because Mary and Gary did that ledger sheet for them, okay, and once they saw that ledger, did their spending, right when they saw it, did anything change immediately? No. So what changed when they saw that ledger?
Their awareness of the situation.
Their awareness of it. Yes, that's basically. So just like Romans said, guys, we're sinning all the way through. Just, you know, that law just makes us conscious of sin. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The law is like a mirror. When I look in the morning and I see that I need to get shaved, the law, the Ten Commandments, is like a mirror that says, I need to get saved. You know what I'm saying? The law doesn't save me. It just shows me that I need to get saved. All right. Yipper-doodles. Okay, here's what we're going to do, because we do have that baptism. I really hate calling it. I want to get through this, but I also know if I'm doing it, I'm forcing it. God bless you.
Thank you.
So here's what we're going to do, guys. I wanted to cut it short because of the baptism. So I think I'm going to do that.
That's okay. You've had a good life.
Yes. So we've gone through the ruin of mankind. And real quickly, next week, we'll go to the rescue of mankind. Because I don't want to just leave you with the bad news. We've got good news. Jesus Christ is that good news. We're going to experience it today in the baptizing of Ash. It's going to be very exciting. And then we'll talk about the reign of mankind next week. Huh? What did you say?
That it's going to bring the ash to life.
That's right. Hey, that's really good. That's right. Good. Anything that anybody wants to say? Oh, is it this Monday? I'm so sorry. I didn't put it up there. Okay, would you talk about it for just 1 minute before we go? And then I'll pray and close.
Okay, we're having a chronic pain support group Monday. It'll be at the church at 7 o'clock, so if anybody would like to come, you're all welcome.
Okay, great. And it's more for folks with chronic pain,
yeah.
Not just pressing. Okay,
yeah,
Okay, great. All right, well, let's take a minute and let's pray. This is a very exciting day. Father, we just want to say thank you for each and every person here, Lord God. I just pray, Father, right now for those who have heard your word today, Lord, that might even be thinking, wow, this was kind of a depressing sermon. Bombs and death, and Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they would hear your heart in it, saying that you've come to have peace and to give life, Lord. And even though they didn't get to hear that in the next section of Scripture, Lord, that they would know or even come back next week to hear how you rescue, that you're there to rescue each one of us from sin, from death, that we never have to die. Never, as a Christian, Lord God, we never have to die. We just change addresses, Lord God. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for offering us eternal life, Lord, for loving us so much and caring about us so much, Lord, that you gave your only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What an amazing, loving, kind God you are, rescuing us from the ruin that we got ourselves into. I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would speak to each heart today and remind them of those things, Lord God. And Lord, I pray even as we go through this baptism and this little cookout, Lord God, that you would minister, help us to minister to one another. Help us to remember that the pressure we're going through, we have your promise to say that you will work even the worst situations out in our life for good. So help us not to run from that pressure, but to run to you, Lord God. And would you do exceedingly, abundantly more in our lives than we can ever ask for or imagine, Lord. I pray that blessing on each person here, Lord God. And if there's anyone else here who wants to be baptized, who wants to make that commitment to you, Lord God, that you would cause them to step up. Maybe it's somebody who just got sprinkled as a baby. Maybe it's somebody who hasn't been walking with you for many years. They've just decided, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Christ all the days of my life so I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I pray you would put it on their heart, Lord God, and that they would want to get baptized as well, Lord God. Lord, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for your love. I thank you for this wonderful church, Lord, and all you're doing in and through it, Lord God. It's all because of you, Lord. Bless your people and bless Ashley today. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord, you guys. Don't forget there's bread and bagels back there. Take as much as you want as a gift in Jesus' name. Baptism in our house afterwards.